Nearly everyone at the Mary Trails Orphanage for Girls agreed. Abraxas was not a good cat. He was stubborn and hateful, which wasn't itself unusual in cats and didn't even necessarily preclude a cat from goodness. Plenty of the girls' favorite stories featured cats who were notorious grumps, and yet they maintained a certain charisma. But Abraxas was also unsightly. Again, ugly cats were commonplace in the streets of Crossport, and the girls loved them all the same. Some were rakish toms, riddled with the scars of their many cat duels. Some were misshapen but sweet, with smushed-in faces and warbling cries that softened even the most callous hearts. Abraxas was neither. Where he had fur, it was a vague sort of gray. His stomach was completely bald, and one white eye had a milky quality to it. And he stunk, noxious from the pearly globs of wetness Mrs. Harbargan fed him twice a day. All of this might have been perfectly fine if Abraxas had at least been entertaining, but the orphanage's pet cat was sedentary during the day, hissing at any of the girls who came too close. Little Mariana Porch had once dared to bring a broom handle within a few inches of his face, dangling a feather in the manner she'd seen two rich children in town do, playing with their gorgeous Siamese. She'd hoped to entice Abraxas into doing something silly. Both Broom and Mariana still bore the scars from that unfortunate day. But what made the cat truly not good was what happened after lights out, because at night, Abraxas finally came alive. He stalked the halls of the orphanage like a wraith, yowling and scratching ceaselessly at every door and window he could reach. Mrs. Harbargan slept like a stone. Her room was nestled all the way at the bottom of the tall house, while Abraxas was locked into the upper floor hallway. She never heard the cat's nightly pandemoniums and waved away the girls' complaints as whining, even as the upstairs doors were thinned away one claw-sized notch at a time. It was on just one such a night that Melanie Gate decided she'd had enough. "Where are you going?" whispered Jane Alley. Melanie could just see her friend's light brown face hovering from the top bunk beside her own, her large eyes wide and worried. Jane was agonizingly shy, the sort of girl who hid away from her own name day parties. That she'd spoken up at all meant she'd sensed Melanie was about to do something particularly audacious. Jane always seemed to know, sometimes even before Melanie herself. Outside the dormitory, Abraxas yowled. He was rattling the hall window with his paws as if playing a glass drum. "I can't stand it anymore," Melanie said, shuffling to the edge of her bed and lowering herself gently to the floor below. Her face was pale and irritated as she glimpsed it in the room's small mirror. "I haven't slept more than 10 hours all week." Sunmi Churchyard's bunk was just below Melanie's. She pushed a lock of dark hair from her eyes. "But what are you going to do?" she asked, sitting up as Melanie slid her feet into her slippers. They were donations from the wealthy families during the last Night of Gold festival, addressed to the poor, sweet orphans with affection and heartache. "He wants out so badly," Melanie said primly. "I'm going to give him what he wants." Across the room, Agatha Chicken Coop laughed. She brushed a tangle of russet curls from her tawny, freckled face to better smirk at Melanie. "Mrs. Harbargan locked all the doors and windows. If they're open, she'll know it was you, Lockeater. You'll get punished." By now, all the girls were sitting up in their beds and watching Melanie as she marched toward the dormitory door in her nightgown and slippers. "There's more than one way to open a window," Melanie declared. "One of these days, Abraxas is bound to rattle the glass just a bit too hard." She revealed the weighty fire iron that she'd smuggled beneath her bedspread, and a chorus of gasps filled the room.